Friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com worldwide, and I'm delighted to welcome Daniel Gallagher. Okay, now, I say that because we're on this side of the Atlantic, of course, where we, back in Ireland, from whence the Gallaghers came, would be Gallaghers. However, Daniel, excuse me, is the Director of Operations for Solace House, and here in New York City. And originally, Daniel, well, first of all, you're welcome. You spent a lot of time in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you have been with Solace House since 2017, and before then, of course, you were working in communications and development team at the Center Against Domestic Violence. That's a nonprofit providing shelter for survivors of domestic violence. Danielle, tell us a bit about your transition from, I assume that your interest in mental health it did give you a background. Is there a correlation between domestic violence and suicide or self-harm? Is there some kind of connection there?
Hi, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be on. You all have been very supportive of Solace House in the past year, so appreciate you having us on again. As far as a correlation, I think everybody who is going through some type of traumatic event suffers from some type of mental health issue and could use assistance. I don't know about a direct correlation of domestic violence and suicide. My expertise would be more in nonprofit management. So I was on the communications and development team helping with fundraising events and in-kind donations for that group, which then translated my work over to Solace House to help grow that organization and expand those services there.
No, of course, we got to know, and as you mentioned, yes, we have been supportive of the organization going way, way back, even at a time when Solace House was indeed initially known here as Pieta House, Pieta House being, an organization in Ireland which has done tremendous work through the years in suicide prevention, self-harm, and but take us from the organization here. First of all, I have to assume that Solace House was chosen because it's easier to recognize than Pieta House in Ireland.
Yeah, we were actually founded as Pieta House. We were very fortunate that the original founder, Joe Freeman, was very open to coming to New York, which actually started through the Darkness Into Light walk that they have over in Ireland still. And that was brought here in 2014. It happened in Gaelic Park in the Bronx. And I think they had over about 1,000 participants join them. So from that, it was obvious that there was support and that there was a need to bring the service over here. So we started a pilot program in 2015 as Pieta House that launched out of the New York Irish Center in Queens. And that ran for 2 years and again just proved that the service was needed. The community really needed those services. But in 2017, due to that expansion and a lot of, you know, legal and New York-based rules and regulations, it was easier to switch to a U.S.-based entity. Therefore, Solace House was born. But our ethos and model remain the same, that we provide free therapy for anybody in suicidal distress, engaged in self-harm, or have been bereaved by suicide. And Joan Freeman actually stayed on as our CEO for several years before that was transitioned to Rebecca Skett, who's currently our CEO. So we were heavily tied with them and very fortunate that they were able to bring that service over and that we were able to continue here in New York as Solace House.
And, we do know that John Freeman, founder, very influential in getting, Solace has started and off the ground here. But we got involved pretty much when your chairman of Solace House, Pat McGowan, builder, who lives in New Jersey, when he became chairman of Solace House, and of course Rebecca Skead has been a guest on our program for now many years. I want to ask you about the community center, Solace House. Where are you located, and bring us through that.
Mm-hmm. So we're located, our headquarters are in Long Island City. We still have offices out of the New York Irish Center building. So we partner with them on occasion and we rent from them on the third floor. So we have offices on that floor. However, due to the pandemic, we did go remote, offering telehealth services, which was very fortunate because we never stopped services and we were able to transition immediately to Zoom and phone, and have kept that going, which has actually expanded our services to all of New York State now. So someone in Buffalo could even access us if they need to, where prior they had to come to the office. So we're located technically in Long Island City, but we do offer remote services to anybody in New York State.
Again, can you just spell out for us the services that normally would have many strings attached in terms of those who are already undergoing tremendous stress. And so who would be the most likely, a person at what level of distress have you found that people will, come to you, make that initial contact with you, with Solace House, and who gets to, what kind of, well, we know what the facility is there, but what kind of, what's a beginning point where people either come to you themselves or have a family member or some close associate get in touch with you for help?
Mm-hmm. Many of our clients come to us with similar presenting conditions. The most common being suicidal ideation. Maybe they've made a past suicide attempt or they're thinking about it. Those who do self-harm, anyone who have been bereaved by suicide, And then there's a lot of presenting conditions that are tied to that with depression, anxiety, trauma, maybe bullying, just any day-to-day stressors in their life that they might want to come to us. So we base our risk level, say, on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. And when someone calls us, we would do an assessment with them. It's a brief intake. We just get some general information. We get some clinical information. And the clinical information is to determine their risk level. If someone might be having suicidal thoughts, and they are maybe around like a 7 or 8, they would probably be our most likely client. If they said they were a 9 or 10 and they have thought of a suicide plan, we would probably recommend that they either go to a hospital or, we would call mobile crisis if they were in imminent danger. So, we do it off of a risk level that's based off of an assessment that we have and our clinicians have created. But most likely our clients are people who maybe are having those thoughts. They don't know what to do about it and they just want someone to talk to. And that we're the best place for that because we are open to just about everybody, who can access us in New York, and our clinicians meet with them once a week to talk about what's going on and why they're having those thoughts.
Now, what about, you know, again, for any of us, and I think that perhaps, you know, we might have an edge from our Irish background in the area of confidentiality, because there still is a stigma surrounding, you know, suicide, that has, again, like many other areas that we didn't even want to approach or acknowledge, like, you know, the devastating Irish famine from 1845 to 1852, and obviously other areas like, you know, 1916, and the revolution in Ireland. There are certain things that we are very sensitive about, but I would say seeking mental help, you know, with suicide or self-harm is probably something that we traditionally would be somewhat apprehensive about in seeking, you know, help. How do most people handle that initial, you know, approach to Solace House? And in fact, is there, is that done with extreme caution? Is there a feeling for those who have to make that first call that in fact they just want several assurances with respect again to confidentiality, and how does that sit?
And all of our services are completely confidential. So anybody who calls us remains within our organization, and the only reason that that ever might be disclosed is if that person was in imminent danger of harming themselves. That being said, that first phone call is absolutely the hardest phone call I think people have to make, so we do our utmost to have compassion and care and really humanize the process. We try not to be too clinical so that people feel more comfortable, you know, just kind of having that chat and getting started to get that help. And we do see that the stigma actually, it is across the board among cultures. We have, like, I mean, in being in Queens and with access to so many different communities, you see this across the board with many cultures, that it's very difficult to start that process. But I think once someone does, they see how helpful it can be and the relief that's there.
You now have, of course, another concern, and particularly if we say, okay, that you have space and acquired space in the New York Irish Center, which is, you know, very, very well known, and it's under the directorship there of our friend George Heslin. But there are those who ought to know that you have a separate entrance there. If a visit is recommended or necessary, or if somebody would like to go there, it's a totally separate entrance. You don't have to march through the New York Irish Center. It's done with complete confidentiality.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how are you funded?
We are funded through events, grants, and community organizers who might put on different types of fundraisers for us.
And how successful are the fundraisers, which will bring me to the next question, of course, is we'd like you to explain, you know, to us or for us the Solace Sunrise Walk, which is actually coming up as beginning next week. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Our fundraiser are extremely successful, and what we are survive on, 90% of our fundraising efforts make our budget. So we do rely heavily on those throughout the year. The next one that's coming up is our Solace Sunrise Walk, which is taking place in a few locations, but the first date is June 3rd, and we have three locations, which will be Long Island City, Queens, which is the New York Irish Center, Bronx, New York, which is Gaelic Park, and Rockland, which is Rockland, GA.
And, okay, and then following up from that, might as well rattle them out here now. You also have the Catskills at, the Shamrock House in East Durham. And that's on June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio, Texas at Woodlawn Park on June 11th. And Ashbury Park, New Jersey on the boardwalk, and that's not for a good while yet. But we have, again, many opportunities, and particularly for those who would like to participate in the Solace Sunrise Walk, which I'll ask you to explain anyway. What is the procedure for the Sunrise Walk?
Mm-hmm. So the Sunrise Walk, it is what it is. It is a sunrise walk, so meaning that it is very early. So we do start in the dark and early hours of the morning, and participants walk together as the sun rises. It symbolizes a lot of what our clients go through while attending our counseling services. They, you know, start in a dark place, but there is light at the end. So the walk does symbolize that. So in our locations, the start time is a bit different for each, which all of that information can be found online, but essentially it starts about 4:30 in the morning, and everybody walks together and kind of experiences that sunrise and the light together.
Can Can you spell out for us another aspect which is obviously very much needed for those who obviously need need help, guidance, whatever it takes to make that transition from the darkest place, obviously, to hope rather than despair. What is the, and how do others become involved, either to help the person who may not even realize that there is help, but perhaps they're not either aware of it or many things come to mind. Well, you know, does it require insurance? Does it, you know, how much is this going to cost? All of which you have spelled out for us. Indeed, there are no direct cost to anybody with or without insurance.
There are no costs. No, we are completely free. So again, we really rely on these fundraisers to help our organization run so that clients can come to us barrier free without having to worry about insurance or those payments. Therapy, unfortunately, in our country is quite expensive. So if someone is in that dark place and they can't see beyond, taking action to maybe end their life, we just want to try to eliminate any barriers or obstacles for them to come and talk to us. So we have been free since we've been open, and we'll continue to do so.
Danielle, graduated, friends, my guest, in 2011 with a social science bachelor's degree in crime, law, and justice from Pennsylvania State University. Well, I want to ask you about the many hats that all of you, but you in particular, seem to wear at Solace House, because there are obviously a great number of programs and day-to-day activities that require, you know, a lot of help. And for instance, what are your hours for those who may be in distress or for those who may want to take advantage, if that's the correct way to put it, of the services that are there? And is that the same number and contact as those who A, might want to join the walk, sunrise walk across the United States? So how do you go about that?
Our hours are Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, we're open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Friday, we're open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And our services can be accessed through calling our mainline number, which is 718-482-0001, and or through our website, which is solacehouseusa.org. And our hours can be found there. That phone number can be found there as well, in addition to the information about the walk.
Of course, most of us would know at least of somebody, if not, know personally somebody who has attempted or, in fact, been the victim of suicide. What about families, friends, close associates of the deceased. What, you know, is there help? Is there, you know, grief counseling? Explain that to us.
We do offer a grief counseling support group that does meet every other week on Thursdays at 5:30. This is for survivors of those who have lost someone to suicide. Our clinical therapist will work with that group specifically focused on that type of grief and that type of loss. And then the city also has loads of resources as well that you can find on NYC Well if you maybe have someone by any other kind of means, cancer or maybe sickness or and that type of loss. But we do specialize in suicide loss that meets every other week.
How do we distinguish between you know on the scale with suicide attempted suicide and also the self harm? What are there telltale signs for somebody who is actually in deep depression and probably you know, withdrawing from friends and family? Are there some, you know, are there some tips for those of us who may or may not be able to recognize somebody struggling with, again, self-harm, perhaps even suicide?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it generally is the most indicated through behavioral changes. So if someone is maybe having sleep disturbances where perhaps they're sleeping all day or maybe they're up all night and this is going on for several days, it might be someone who has isolated themselves. Generally speaking, maybe they do go on about their day, they go to work, they go to the gym, you know, et cetera, but they don't do that anymore and they're isolating themselves. There's also giving away possessions. Sometimes people will get their affairs in order before they make an attempt, so they might start giving stuff away. Another behavioral change is maybe if someone is generally not, you know, very out there and quote-unquote happy, and then all of a sudden they seem like the happiest person in the world, that's a behavioral change. So any drastic changes like that are indicators. There's also many, many triggers in life that can put someone in a suicidal state, losing a job, a separation or divorce, maybe an accident, sickness. So if something like that happens in someone's life, those are something to watch out for. And then the most important thing that we always say when we're, you know, talking about how to help someone or recognize the signs, if you do recognize that something is maybe a little off, the most important thing that you can do is ask the person. You can ask them how they're doing, what's going on, and if you really are concerned, the best thing to do is to directly ask if someone is suicidal. If someone is having those thoughts, you're not going to put it in their head, the idea in their head. It might already be there. And so the best thing that a friend or loved one or colleague could do is start that conversation so that we can get that person professional help.
I know that most of your assistance, you know, to those who need help, that most of that now, as you have with many hospitals, and it's becoming very popular in the medical field, considering that we all had to jump on the deep end of the pool with the arrival of the pandemic. But are there those who, what's the beginning point here? From once you make that initial contact, is there an in-person interview that happens after that, or how does that work?
No, once someone calls us and after we do that brief intake, we would then set them up with a licensed clinical social worker who then would do an phone or Zoom assessment, and it's essentially where they just ask a load more questions than our initial intake, but that's with a professional, so they just kind of get more of a sense of what's going on. And then from there, they would meet with that clinician once a week until they felt ready to close with us. We are not a forever therapy place, and that someone wouldn't work with our clinicians forever. However, we wouldn't prematurely close anybody until they were ready.
Danielle, I want to again thank you for joining us, and also encourage those. This is a once a year, and this is a major source of fundraising for Solace House. So, friends, let me encourage you to get on, number one, to Solace House website, and then perhaps you can tell us, Danielle, the options or how people, not just who are going to be part of the Sunrise Walk, but those who generally would, you know, like to contribute and support a tremendous organization, how do we go about that?
Thank you for having us and announcing this. We really appreciate you promoting this walk and our services. People can help by going to our website. There's a general email, mary@solacehouseusa.org, if they wanted to reach out to get involved. There are donate buttons. People can come to our event. They can volunteer at the Solace Sunrise Walk, and then we tend to have different types of events throughout the year that people can also get involved with, should they choose.
Okay, I think final reminder here is that, friends, whereas the office of Solace and Solace House is in Long Island City in Queens, you have access to Solace House wherever you are. And again, obviously, it is terrific to know that the whole, Solace House is not only well known, but very much appreciated right across the country. So if you get on to, your website, and give us that website, please, Danielle.
Yep, it's SolaceHouseUSA.org.
Okay, and that's Solace, S-O-L-A-C-E, house, one word, .org. Thank you, and again, we look forward to, having a great turnout, and that has been steadily growing through the years. Great organization, and we understand that Rebecca Sked, who is the CEO, she's at least temporarily anyway, doing other things, changing diapers or whatever.
Yes, she is a new mother who is experiencing maternity leave as best she can. She has been tooting in here and there with Sala's house, unfortunately. We always have to pull her back a little bit. But
yeah, she didn't change her number, huh?
No. So she has a new baby boy named Austin. So Rebecca and Martin, her husband, are very happy and just loving him and spoiling him already, I think.
Okay, well, our very best for her, and of course, again to Pat McGowan, chairman, who is the main has-been since day one, the main pusher and organizer of any time we think, well, that should keep us going for a while, Pat McGowan is back on again, looking for something else for which we are very appreciative, because it's our indeed pleasure and honor to be in a position to to promote whenever we can Sala's House. Again, if there is anything in this world that is worth supporting and should demand indeed our attention to it, it has to be, you know, self-harm, suicide prevention, and that's the service that Sala's House provides. Danielle Gallagher, Director of Operations for Sala's House, thanks for joining us and good luck.
Thank you so much.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, usairishradio.com, worldwide. Okay, Danielle, that's fantastic.
Okay, thanks. That was okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
That was really good. I'll have to add that telephone number too, but we'll do that at the end of the program or throughout. Okay, thanks a lot. Best wishes to everybody there.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.